Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless. I add uplift as well. August is a time where I also take a break so I exactly minister shares most of the lifting of preaching in the month of August. And so now I'm back at it, looking forward to what God is going to do. Today we are beginning a new series. It's a series called Getting Past Your Past. Listen, the reality is, brothers and sisters, that sometimes our past seems to grip us. It seems to hold us and just won't let us go. One of my favorite books is called Go Tell It on the Mountain by James Baldwin. James Baldwin, he talks about how his past, in essence, was trying to reach out from the darkness and to pull him back. Sometimes that happens in our lives where something you did 10 years ago still haunts you and you're trying to figure out, how do I break free of that in order to live in the life that God has for me? So we're dealing with getting past your past. I don't want to be before you long. If you got your Bible, your book of instruction before leaving earth, I want to invite your attention to 2 Corinthians. It's our communion Sunday, so I can't be up all day. So I'm going to share this particular passage of scripture. I get a few amens, and then we're going to break bread together. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 5, beginning with verse number 17. If you've got it, invite you to stand for honor the reading of God's word. You got hard copy of those who know. I normally just go straight from the pad. I got the Bible app on the pad too, but I've got these leather Bibles, so I might as well use them for preaching every now and then to break them in. So we invite you to turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter number 5. You got to say amen. Amen. Still look and say, hold up. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 is on the screen as well. I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. I really just want to read verse number 17. Here's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Once again, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. It's the word of God, the people of God, the word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor, before you take your seat, you know how we roll with a smile on your face. Smile, I just say 15% by switching the Geico type smile on your face. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Glad you're in church.
Welcome back.
This morning's sermon is a fresh start. Okay, look at another neighbor, look at another neighbor. Smile back on your face. Neighbor, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
Yeah,
in church.
Welcome
back. Welcome
back.
This morning's sermon is a fresh start. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. A fresh start. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily, that these your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see. Open mine eyes and lift me. Spirit divine. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. A fresh start. So, this is a bit of an age test for someone to tell if you have childhood or not.
When I was a child, I can remember going to one of my friend's house. I didn't have one of these, my friend did, because I was a little bit more financially challenged growing up, so my friend had one, so I would go by their house. It was this little red thing. It was red and it had some knobs at the bottom. Don't give it away for those who didn't have a childhood. Yeah, y'all stay with me. So they had some white knobs at the bottom, and my friend began to draw things on it, and so my friend then handed it to me and said, all you gotta do is use the knobs and you can draw what you want to draw. So I had an image in my mind of what I wanted to draw. I said, oh man, this is pretty cool. And so I began to use knobs. Wait, hold on, bro. This, you were doing it, but that's not doing what I wanted it to do. And I got upset. I got mad because I was trying it. I knew what I had in my mind, what I wanted to do, but no matter how much I turned the little knobs, it just did not work. Now, for those who did not have a childhood, meaning you didn't grow up maybe in the 70s or 80s, you missed this, and this is what's called an etch-a-sketch. Yeah. Etch-a-sketch. Some of y'all know this about etch-a-sketch. Yeah. I'm frustrated. I'm mad because I had an image in my mind of how I wanted it to look while I was really putting forth the effort. It was a hot mess. Got mad. I was frustrated. I said, man, this is a piece of junk. My friend said, nah, man, you don't get it. He took it. And he said, what's cool about it was that the designers, those who created it, created it so that you could deal with your flaws. He said, you could take it and you could simply shake it. And you can always get a fresh start. Even when you mess up, you can begin again so that you can create what you had in your mind. My brothers and my sisters, sometimes in life, I wish I could just and start some stuff over. Have you ever been in situations where you say, you know, if I could just shake a little bit and take that word back, my life would have been, if I could just shake a little back and take that whole year back of my life, if I could just shake for 5 minutes and take that conversation back, if I could just shake a little bit and not give him my number, not give her my number, I would definitely get a fresh start. One that time when I gave them my number, I messed up 9 years. If I could, Lord Jesus, give me the 4 minutes back, and I would tell them no. Sometimes, brothers and sisters in life, it feels like we could just get an etch-a-sketch and get a fresh start. Some things would be better. Sometimes, things in life get messy. We need a fresh start. Sometimes things go bad, and you just need a fresh start. Sometimes you can look at your own failures and declare, Lord, I need a fresh start. Sometimes you can go so far off track, even when your relationship with God, and you just have to declare, Lord, forgive me, I just need a fresh start. How many of us here this morning can declare, Lord, I do need a fresh start? Yeah. Many of us here this morning have made mistakes, even as Christians. Don't look at your neighbor, just look for straight ahead. You haven't been perfect even as a Christian. We have experienced some setbacks and some failures throughout our lives. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, we allow the mistakes of our past to become setbacks. We allow our mess ups to hold us back from all that God has for us. Sometimes, even as Christians, we are haunted, hindered, and halted by our past. The Apostle Paul helps us this morning to ensure that our past does not hold us back from what God has for us. Here we are, 2 Corinthians. And I have to admit this to you, brothers and sisters, this was a challenging sermon to prepare. I love preaching, but it's challenging because in this one verse, y'all, for real, it's a whole lot. You can literally write a whole book off just this one verse. A lot of our Christianity hinges on just this one verse. Here we are, 2 Corinthians. Check this out. 2 Corinthians is actually, believed to be the third letter that Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. So don't look at your Bible. It's not there. There's no 3 Corinthians in your Bible. But he actually wrote 3 letters to them. One of them we've lost. He wrote this letter to them, and it was called a severe letter. Severe letter. Have you understand what this means? A severe letter is when a parent finds out the child has done something wrong at school, and when you find out something happened, you snap, and you go back to old school, and you didn't mean to hit him that hard. you realize, Lord Jesus, please forgive me. The severe letter. Paul went smooth off on the Corinthians because they were not living the life they should live as Christians. And so he wrote them a letter. I don't know what was in the letter, but Lord knows I wish we had it, because there are some church folk that just may need that. Some people, you know, some kids, just they just know, sit, journey, don't do that. Work for some folks. Some folk, I need that. Well, I told you. And then it began. Some of y'all were just like that child, you know, just like that. And so he wrote them a severe letter, and Paul thought they would respond negatively to it. He thought I was just too harsh. He was worried about it. Titus, one of his disciples, if you will, come back and says, Paul, believe it or not, they got the letter and they listened. They began to adjust. Some of y'all know, as long as mama just say stop, stop, stop. But then when they call your whole name and they reach to grab something, all of a sudden you realize you got that. The church at Corinth, once they got this severe letter, they began to make some adjustments. So Titus reports back to them to Paul, it works. So Paul writes 2 Corinthians to them to let them know that he's glad they made some adjustments in their lives. He wants to make plans to come to see them. This letter is important because it's a pastoral letter. Pastoral letter is this letter from a pastor, in essence, to its members. Paul writes to them, and he says to them, listen, I know you're in church, but you got some mess. So I want you to understand how to not allow the mess of your past to hinder you. Paul writes to them, let them and us know that as followers of Jesus Christ, we sometimes mess up, but how not to allow our mess ups to hinder us, how we can get a fresh start. Imagine they would say, I need a fresh start. I need a fresh start. So in order for us to understand this, in order for us to get a fresh start, brothers and sisters, this text helps us realize, first of all, we got to fess up to our mess up. We got to fess up to our mess up. I've been in church all my life. I've been in church, and I've been preaching now for half of my life. I've been preaching now for 16 years, been in church my whole life. And what's interesting is that folk come to church to hide. Folk come to church to act like they've got everything together. They come to church to hide. If you go to church regularly, you know how to play the part. By that I mean you listen to Shirley Caesar, Mighty Clouds of Joy while you're riding in your car to church. Then you know how to play the part. You know. But here's how you know if you're hiding. If you're out, you're listening to Shirley Caesar in your car. You jam into Mighty Clouds of Joy. You've got your windows down to let everybody know that you are a Christian. Come here. As soon as you get cut off in traffic, you know who you are. What you say ain't holy. How you react ain't pleasing to the Lord. You might be hiding. You might very well just be hiding. People will assume that you got your life together because you go to church regularly, but you really are just hiding. If your children know that you're one way on Sunday morning, but then you're totally different at the house, come a little closer. You might just very well come to church to hide. Here's another one. If you come to church and you can usher on Sunday, but then you're in the club trying to get love on Friday, chances are you might very well be hiding. Throughout his writing, Paul reminds believers that we are not all that and a bag of chips. I know somebody told you that you were perfect, that you were the best. Listen, come. Paul says, listen, you ain't all that and a bag of chips. The reality is that when it comes to our relationship with God, brothers and sisters, we've got some mess ups. You've not done all that you're supposed to do. You've not prayed as you should. You've not worshiped as you should. You've not given as you should. You've not served as you should. And it doesn't matter how holy you act. It does not matter how you dress. It does not matter how you try to impress other people. The reality is you and I have some mess ups. As a matter of fact, Paul put it like this. All, that's including you, have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Isaiah 64 puts it like this. All of us have become like the one who is unclean. All of us are like the unrighteous. We are like filthy rags. All of us have to fess up to our own mess ups. The problem is that far too many of us go to church every Sunday and try to cover up our mess up and hide from God, trying to throw religion over our mess. But check this out, throwing religion over your mess doesn't make you better. It simply makes the church messy. Got news for you. You can try to run, but you cannot hide. God sees everything that you and I do. Not only that, God sees the stuff that you thought about doing, but you just weren't crazy enough to do. God sees all of us. You cannot hide your mess from God, but rather you've got to admit that you've fallen short. You've got to admit that you have messed up. That's a sign of Christian maturity, when you can admit your own wrong. Many of us can see someone else's faults, but not our own. I know, I'm a parent. My children have the same kind of syndrome where they can do something wrong and you can have them recorded doing it. They will still say, I didn't do it. My brothers and my sisters, part of your Christian maturity is being able to come before God and say, God, I admit, I got some mess ups. We've got to be willing to fess up when we have messed up. But then, brothers and sisters, the text helps us to understand we've got to use the right cleaner. Once you realize that you've got a mess on your hands, once you realize that your life is a mess, you've got to use the right cleaner. Paul says, if anyone is in Christ. Now, this phrase, in Christ, is interesting because it could mean several things. It could mean that you are united with Christ. It could mean that you are in the sphere of Christ. Power. It could mean that you are in the community of the believers. Let me pause here to help us to understand this. Brothers and sisters, he's saying here, it could mean that you just go to church. It could mean you just are part of the community of believers, but it doesn't mean that you're saved. Homegirl of mine, Bree, she got her doctorate degree from Virginia Union Theological Seminary, Howard University's rival, but she got her doctorate degree, right? She's on staff, Freddie Haynes Church, Friendship West Baptist Church. And what she wrote was this. She talked about millennials. My dissertation is also dealing with millennials. And she said in one of her articles that the church ought not just try to get millennials back to church. We ought to get them to Christ. Here's the difference. There's a whole bunch of folks who've been going to church their whole life and have never truly met Jesus Christ. They have been going to church since they were a baby and they never met Jesus Christ. Here's how you know it. They're some of the meanest jokers, but they faithful. They're there every single Sunday as soon as the door opens, but they never had truly a conversion. My brothers and my sisters, don't miss heaven because you were just in church regularly, but you never met Jesus. In order for us to get past our past, we've got to turn over to Jesus our issues and allow him to clean them up. But don't read too fast. Watch this. We've got to turn our lives over, not just our issues over. And here it is. When I was young, I remember I got chores. My mama was going to pay me to do chores. Now, I never really got the money, but she told me she was going to pay me to do chores. And so I remember one of my chores was to clean the bathroom. So I remember I went in. Now, this was when you could take a bath and it normally leaves this little ring around the tub. When you let the water go out and that ring just kind of sit there, we have that. But then if you took a shower, you would have scum on the shower. And so I saw this. I went to the bathroom. I'm clean. I ran some hot water. I just cleaned a little bit. I washed all over it. Washed down the walls. And I was through. Sat down and played my video games. I want my money. My mama came home. She looked at the bathroom. She said, son, did you clean the bathroom? I said, yeah, mama, I cleaned it. I was in there for 15 minutes. I tried my best. I cleaned it. And she said, well, what did you do? I walked in the bathroom. I turned on the hot water, grabbed the sponge, and I just began working. My mama said, son, hold on, you're not cleaning anything. All you're doing is making it wet. She then went to the cabinet, and and she poured out, it was not scrubbing bubbles, we didn't have that then. She poured out this box, it was a powder box, and it was Ajax.
Yes.
Some of y'all had a childhood growing up, she had that Ajax. So she pushed some of that powder on the sponge, and she began to scrub. She said, son, you've got to make sure you're using the right cleaner that can get past just the surface and deal with the dirt underneath. And yes. So I learned from my mama, brothers and sisters, that when it comes to our lives, we got to take our issues and our whole lives to the one who can truly clean us. Yes. Part of our problem is we've been using the wrong cleaner for something that only Jesus can fix in our lives. Come a little closer. Some of y'all have been using other relationships thinking this was going to make your life better. Some of you have been relying on money thinking if I can get another promotion or a little bit more money, my life will be better. Some of you have been relying on family and wondering why my life is still a mess. Yeah. Maybe you've been using the wrong cleaner. Jesus Christ is the only one who can change and transform our lives.
Yeah.
Paul wants us to understand, brothers and sisters, that we've got to rely on the right cleaner. In order for us to have a fresh start, we've got to be willing to turn our whole lives over to Jesus and let him clean us up. We've got to be willing to allow him to get rid of the dirt of our lives. We've got to be willing to allow him to get rid of the mess of our lives. We've got to be willing to allow him to change us. You're a Christian. There ought to be something new about you since coming to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
If you still do all that you used to do, chances are you're not using the right thing. If you still go to the same places you've always gone, chances are you're not using the right cleaner. If you still say all that you used to say, there's a good chance, my brothers and my sisters, that you are not using the right cleaner. But when you turn your whole life over to Jesus Christ, I can hear Paul say, then the old things are passed away. The old mistakes, the old ways of thinking, the old failures, the old dirt, the old issues are passed away when you rely on Jesus Christ to clean your life. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to hide anymore. You can get a fresh start. I'm out of your way when I share this with you, my brothers and my sisters. Whenever you read the Bible and you see the word therefore, ask the question, what is therefore, therefore? Paul starts by saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, behold, they are a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all has become new. Paul, why are you saying that? When you read chapter 5, when you go home, read all of chapter 5, my brothers and my sisters, you will see multiple times in that one chapter, Paul says, therefore, therefore, therefore. Paul, why are you saying this? My brothers and my sisters, the reality is we've had a break in our relationship with God. It wasn't God who messed up. It was us.
Yeah.
We've had a break in our relationship with God. And God wasn't at fault. It was us. We've got to be willing to admit, Lord, I have failed in my relationship to you. And everything I try to do cannot get me right. I don't have the ability to clean my life up. I don't have the ability to get rid of my mistakes. I have to rely on you for that. Paul says, when you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, when you give everything to God, then he says, therefore, when you are in Christ, not just in the church, but when you are in Christ, old things, your old issues, your old faults, your old failures, your old sins are passed away. And then he says, behold, all has become new. Let me give you this new thing and I'm out your way. My brothers and my sisters, we've got to learn how to live with the new start, how to live with a fresh start. Check it out. He says all things have become new. In other words, he wants you to understand that how you used to be has to change.
Yes.
What you used to do has to change. Many of us are used to coming to church and playing the role because nobody's following you home to hold you accountable. But once you've had a true experience with Jesus Christ, what you used to do, you won't do anymore because there is a newness. He says, the old things are not hidden, but they are passed away.
Yeah.
The old things are gone. He's cleaned them so much so that you don't desire them anymore. I heard one person put it like this. When you come to Jesus Christ, the things you used to desire, you won't desire anymore. You begin to desire the things of God. People won't have to poke you or prod you or cheer you up for you to worship him. You will realize it's him who has cleaned me and put me back in right relationship with God. It's he who has reconciled me. Yeah. I'm out of your way when I share this with you, my brothers and my sisters. This word reconcile is in your sermon insert. This word reconcile means God came to get you and to restore relationship with you. You could not do it, but brother, he did it in and of himself. The problem is, many of us come to church and we are haunted by our past because the devil has a way of reminding you of all that you have done. The devil has a way of standing and always accusing you of your faults. There was a conversation that happened one day where your name came up and the devil had a list of all your faults. No, not just the ones your homegirl, your homeboy didn't know, but all your faults. He had a list. He began to read off the list. Began to read off the list. All of your faults. All the things that you've done wrong. All the ways you messed up when it comes to your relationship with God. The devil just began to read them all, and the devil said, they messed up. There's no hope for them. There's nothing that can restore them. And I can hear Jesus say, can I see the list? Jesus then took the list and he took it to what I would consider a cleaning room in heaven, because they had a particular cleaning agent that could deal with your sins and my sins, all of them. Took it to the cleaning room and handed it over to the angel. Said, I got one. A whole bunch of issues with him. A whole bunch of issues with her. Can you clean it? The angel looked at it and said, yes, Jesus, I think we can do a little something with it. The angel then took it to the cleaning room. The angel then grabbed a cleaning agent. It was a red agent. They began to wash on your stuff.
Thank you, God.
They began to wash on my stuff. And all of a sudden, your slate and my slate came back clean because they used the right cleaning agent. Somebody put it like this. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. God. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I love it when they say that there's still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners, your sin and my sins still plunge beneath that blood to lose all our sins and stain. At the cross where I first saw the light. My brothers and my sisters.
Thank you, God.
The burdens of my heart were rolled away because it was there. By faith, I received my sight.
Yes, God.
Now I'm happy all today because he took my issues to the cleaning room of heaven.
Yes.
Purged me and made me right because of the blood he shed. Now, my past is no more.
Yes, God.
The old has passed away and I've got a fresh start. Your old has passed away and you've got a fresh start. Here's the question for you to ponder throughout the rest of your life. What will you do with the fresh start? Will you live every day to glorify God? Will you live to please him? Or will you make up in your mind that now that I got a fresh start, I don't really care anymore? Will you vow that it took his blood to save you and to save me so that the old is passed away? The new has come. My brother, my sister, God wants you to know that you, yes, you, you've got a fresh start.
Yes.
Live every day to glorify him. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for a fresh start.
Thank you,
Lord God, that our past does not hold us, that our issues cannot separate us from you. Thank you, Lord God, that you took all of our faults, all of our failures, and you cleaned them up in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord God, that we've got good news today, that you've reconciled us to you. You did it all on your own. That, Lord God, you've given us a fresh start. Help us now, Lord God, to live our lives to glorify you. Help us not to come to church to hide, but help us, Lord God, to come to church to glorify you for saving us. This is indeed our prayer.
Yes,
Lord God, I pray right now for somebody who's sitting under the sound of my voice. They're saying, preacher, I've got some mess ups. I'm willing to fess up to my own mess ups. Preacher, I have tried to clean myself up, but I failed every single time. I've relied on people, and I've relied on things, and I've relied on money, but now I realize that if my life is going to be different, if my old is going to pass away, I've got to turn my life over to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now for somebody that does not know you and the pardoning of sins that come with accepting Jesus Christ. I pray that you would touch their minds, touch their hearts, draw them closer to you. This is indeed our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you stand all over the sanctuary, my brothers and my sisters, kid, I had a little etchy sketch down. I would just draw. Sometimes I would be drawing on the etchy sketch and it would be going good. It's pretty much how I wanted it to be. But then, the problem with etchy sketch was if you went off a little bit, there was no way of just erasing the piece you didn't like. You had to start over again. My brother, my sister, in a very real sense, sometimes our lives are just like etchy sketches. We draw certain things on them. We've got an idea in our mind how it's going to be, but then we mess up. We have errors, we have issues, we've got faults, we've got failures. So long, somebody here today has been looking at their life as a mess, been looking at your life as a disaster. God has sent me by today to let you know that you can get past your past by simply shaking a little bit and turning your life over to Jesus Christ. When you do that, my brothers and my sister, he wipes your slate clean with his blood. Maybe you're here right now and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You're still looking at the mess of your life. You tried everything you possibly could to get rid of it. No matter how much you shook it, it was still there. No matter how much you shook it, the devil reminded you of all your faults, all your failures, all of your past. I dare you to hand it over to Jesus. Watch him take it. Take it to the cleaning room of heaven and to purge it as white as snow. If you hear my brother, my sister, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't care how long you've been going to church. You've never made a confession of faith. You never said, God, I'm giving you my whole life. If you're here today, my brother, my sister, we invite you to do that today. We invite you to confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Here at Uplift, we make it very easy for you. Right now, you don't even have to walk down to give us your hand. You can simply make a confession of faith standing right where you are. You're saying, God, I'm giving you the mess of my life, believing that you're able to clean me up and to make me right again. If you hear my brother, my sister, we invite you to pray a collective prayer with us. When we pray this collective prayer to let you know that you're not in this journey by yourself. We're in this with you. So that when you've got exciting moments in your life, we're there to smile and to clap and to rejoice with you. But when you fall short and it seems like you can't get yourself back up, God uses the person to your right, to your left, in front of you, behind you, to let you know that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, but rather will be a shoulder that you can cry on. If you hear, you never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to pray this collective prayer with me. Simply repeat these words. Dear Lord, I admit that I am a sinner. I admit that I've fallen short. I admit that I've messed up. But today, I'm going to confess it. I accept that you sent Jesus to die for me. I accept that you raised him on the third day to save me. And because of that, I am saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a hand of praise. Because somebody may have made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank God for that. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Listen, my brother, my sister, if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, like today I'm really making a decision to give my whole life over to the Lord, we invite you.